Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Turn with me to Acts chapter 12. There's something very fresh going on in God and in his church, in us. Very exciting days all over the nation and all over the world. There's just such a strong outpouring and release of God and the works of God. We're so blessed to live in this day. I just thank God for all the forerunners that never saw a miracle but still believed. But we're a people who see miracles, but we're going to see much more. Amen. And there's an ever-increasing dimension of the life and power of the Holy Spirit breaking out everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Now in Acts chapter 12, it's kind of in the season of the book of Acts, from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, when the church was born, it's right through to Acts 10. It's almost 10 years on. That's what some scholars would say. It's 10 years into the history of the church. And the church, once the Holy Spirit was given, the body of Christ really sustained the move of God. You know, it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit, but God requires the people to cooperate with him to sustain an ongoing move of God. And we read how they did that in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves. Do you know the scripture? They devoted themselves to prayer, to the apostles' teaching, breaking bread, and fellowship. In other words, in the environment of God's word and prayer, so spiritual things, there was a reality of a community of people. And this is really the purpose of God in sustaining every move of God. The church play a vital part in seeing a sustained move of God. Now we know they were successful in those early years. There was a lot of persecution that came against the church. And the majority of the first kind of wave of persecution was from religious leaders. The religious leaders and religious spirits behind those leaders wanted to stop the move of God. And the gospel was getting out beyond Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and was beginning to go further. And also we read in Acts 10 about Peter having to be smacked in his mind by the Holy Spirit because his thinking had got very parochial. And God wanted to break the mind, the Jewish mindset, into a God mindset, which was the gospel for the whole world, with no barriers and no kind of prejudice. And so there is this ever-increasing advance of the kingdom through the church. And I think it's so important that we as the church understand that it isn't just the Holy Spirit we need. We need the church. The God's vehicle of transforming communities and changing the world through the gospel is through the body of Christ. It's his chosen way of moving. And we see this community life, and I believe that that is what God is really desiring for us, every one of us, is to understand we are part of a community of believers, birthed, created by the Holy Spirit, but sustained by our devotion to the things that God requires of us. To hearing the word like tonight, to fellowshipping together, to hospitality actually. It's a huge part of sustaining the life of the kingdom and of prayer. Now in Acts 12, there was another move of opposition from the enemy against the church. Because if Satan is going to defeat and stop what God wants to do in reaching the world, he will attack the church. Do you know it's always Satan versus the church? Two teams. I know which one I'm backing, and that's the winning one. The other one lost already, but he still is out to attack and to stop the advance of the church and the advance of the kingdom. So let's read this fantastic kind of insight, but story into an amazing victory for that time in the church. Verse 1, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword, and when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. I love the fact that he was sleeping. I was talking about resting in peace. R.I.P. going on here. Bound with two chains, the sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." Very practical. Go out dressed. Good idea. "And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they'd walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. "Right, job's done. Peter, you're on your own." Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know that without doubt the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches." It's interesting that Peter just immediately says Herod's clutches. He doesn't say demonic powers. Even though we understand our battle is not against Herod's clutches, people. But it is a real kind of situation. And Herod wanted to destroy Peter's life. So he says, "I've been delivered from Herod's clutches and from anything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this dawned on him, he had a little bit of light and revelation. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked on the outer entrance, and a servant girl came to the door, recognized Peter's voice, went back in saying, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. She kept saying, "He is really there. We really do get answers to prayer. God really does answer." And they say, "You're out of your mind." I love that. Have you ever talked to anybody, you got an answer, and they said, "You're out of your mind"? Yeah. I've had that. Peter kept knocking, and when they opened, they found out that he'd been set free, and that's the end of the story for tonight. Well, what does God want to do tonight? He wants us to see some very important principles here of how the church need to be acting when the enemy is coming against, via Herod, via other means other than direct attack from the devil. The enemy stirs up political systems, stirs up world rulers, stirs up bosses, stirs up systems, economy systems, to come against the church. You know, if I was the enemy, I would know we are actually very dangerous. And so rather than attack all the world, I'd really make my priority to attack the church. Understand? So, you know, you actually go with the ones who can actually beat you. And so the enemy is attacking the church here. And they put in prison some of the disciples, some of the believers from the church, and James had actually been killed. Now, this, we understand, must have been a real shock for the people. Because they'd seen victory, they'd seen expansion, they'd seen amazing results. And suddenly, they're well aware that some of their guys are in prison. And that there's a possibility that even Peter could be killed. Because that's the road that James went down. The enemy's goal in this is to bring a defeated mindset into the church. To actually say to the church, Herod is more powerful than God. Because look what happened to James, and look what's happening to some believers. And so what this real situation was to really bring the church into a defeated mindset. To stop them from thinking they could win. Because as soon as the enemy brings us into a place where we don't think we can win, we won't do anything about it. My character is, if I ever play sport, I want to win. I have no other goal or agenda. Nicely, I'm very nice about it, but I actually always want to win. I don't actually play squash, and I don't do it anymore, that's true. But I don't actually play a game to lose. And I don't believe any believer with the new nature, Christ in us, ever, ever plans or wants to lose. But the enemy constantly is warring against our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, the soul of man, to bring you into a losing, defeated way of thinking. And if he can get you thinking defeat, then very soon what will follow is you'll back down and allow him to win. And do nothing about your ability to gain victory. Okay, so this is really what's happening to the church. Now, they also, the church there, it says that these guys who were in prison belonged to the church. Now, that for me, it speaks volumes. So in other words, if you're in prison, it really affects me. You're not in prison without me not playing a part in seeing you come to victory. There is this unity and this family spirit that says, if you're down, I'm bothered. There's a psalm, I think it's Psalm 20. It talks about we will shout for joy when we see your victory. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. I am with you in winning. And so the ones in prison, the ones in difficulty, actually affected the whole church. It had an effect on the body. Now I believe that the way that we walk out our love walk together, because God has required us to love him first, and then love one another. The way that we do that is that we know what's going on in somebody else's life enough to say, we're not happy life isn't working for you. We're not happy you're in trouble. And we want to stand in a place to bring about victory for you. So there is this selfless, but also, I think, an absolute joy of saying, come on, let's get Peter out of prison. Yes. But the mentality is the key. The way that we think is the key. You see, we're not in a fight that's physical. I don't know what slide we're on, son. Are we on any? A war not of this world. A fight not physical. A fight that can't be won with powers of persuasion. With bribing the ones in prison. With man's ways. It's a fight that is won with spiritual weapons. And spiritual weapons have divine power. We can access divine power. We can actually release divine power. And the battle, Ephesians 6, let's just turn there. Ephesians 6. See, the enemy wanted to communicate to the early church, I'm more powerful. I'm going to get you. You're going to lose. You're not going to win territory. You're not going to achieve the goals that you have as a church. Hello? You're not going to achieve the goals you have as a family. In your career, you're not going to win. You're going to lose your job. I don't know what he says to you, but he will be saying stuff to you. And if he can get the church thinking defeat, then we are on actually losing ground. We know in Christ we are positionally in victory. But the way we think affects everything that happens in our life. That's why the word says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you can test and prove what the will of God is. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we read really of God's provision for us. In verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I mean, what a wonderful verse. Finally, be strong. Already that's good. So in other words, be strengthened in God. Get your power from him. And his mighty power. So in other words, indestructible, indefeatable, awesome power. God wants you strong in his power. He doesn't want you facing the enemy weak. He wants you facing situations strong. He wants to give you strength for battle. You're not just going to wrestle and win against principalities and powers. You're not just going to win against Herod. He wants to first strengthen his church. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't want you weak. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He says, go on, put on. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, so put on the armor of God. It's against rulers and authorities and powers. Take up, you know, the sword of the Spirit. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace. He goes on about this armor. And essentially, this means put on Christ. We know we're in Christ. But, you know, I think about what I wear. And I believe we need to be thinking about what we're wearing tonight. And I tell you what not to wear. And that's defeat. I tell you, it doesn't suit you. Don't wear it. That's a cloak the enemy wants to put over us as God's people. A defeated mindset. God wants us to have a mindset, a winning, victorious mindset. So the outcome of everything that even currently looks bad is going to be victory. Think about that. The outcome of everything you're facing is going to be victory. Amen. Not in your own way of doing it, but in God's way. In God's power. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it exciting that he wants us to win? We have won, but he wants us to win. Thank you, Jesus. So, what we need to see is that the early church, when they were faced with this seeming defeat in somebody else's life, they went to pray together. And they didn't just pray once in agreement. They persistently, with fervent prayer. Now, what is fervent prayer? It means that it affected them that they prayed from the heart with passion. Tonight, I believe, you see, I'm not happy there are people still without jobs in the church. Are you? Is there anybody here who's unemployed? Needs a job? Anybody else? I know Bobby needs a job. I know James needs a job. He got one. You didn't tell me. We will shout for joy when we see your victory. So there are people that need jobs. There are people that need miracles in their personal life. And it's like we need to partner. And when we've seen victory, celebrate it with understanding. Amen. Very exciting. So the early church didn't just pray once, they prayed fervently and wanted to see somebody else win. Because actually their victory, personally, in some way my victory is related to yours. And yours is to mine. Because God has joined us together for His purpose. And that means that we are to actually share victories together. And not just to be everything in the church for me to win in my life, but actually for us to win together. That will mean me winning personally, but it will mean us coming from victory to victory. So what we are thinking, what were the early church thinking when they were in prison and when James was killed? They could have thought, let's back off, it's bad news, the enemy is winning, we need to slow down on the evangelism, we need to stop doing what we're doing. Obviously, you know, this is the problem. They want us to stop. I don't need to prophesy this, it's going to happen. It's going to get more difficult to preach the gospel in this nation. It already is in schools. It already is in workplaces, in hospitals. People are brought before courts for proclaiming things. Some people put praise the Lord on Facebook and can get in trouble. There are things that want to shut down. Spirits behind that want to shut down the voice of hope for this world. To shut down the message of the gospel and the victory of the cross. And we have victory not only in our spirit, but in our mouth. Amen. We're here to tell people there is victory for your life in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want anyone to lose. He wants to bring them to victory through faith in Jesus. So we must think victory before we can expect it. Before you pray for anybody to be healed, you need to be thinking, healing, not bad leg. Before you pray for a miracle for somebody to have a job, you need to be thinking, fantastic opportunity in the workplace. Rather than, oh God, they haven't got a job. I know they haven't. I haven't asked you to pray about what they haven't got. I've asked you to pray, kingdom of heaven come and change it. Thank you, Jesus. And so we need to be expecting and thinking about victory. The victory that is available to us through faith in God. So, what about Gideon? Let's look at Gideon because he's somebody that went from thinking he was a defeated person into a deliverer of a nation. He made quite a transition from a loser to a winner. I mean, it was incredible. And the difference was he believed what God said. And because he believed it, he went out and did what God said. This is good news tonight. So Gideon, let's look at Judges chapter 6. I can't read all of this because it'll take a long time, but basically God's people have got themselves into a mess because of compromise. And whenever there's compromise, gives a foothold for the enemy, and defeat is inevitable. But they repented, they cried out to the Lord, and God raised up a deliverer, and a very unlikely deliverer in Gideon. You would not have chosen Gideon if you'd looked at him in his wine press. And I believe that many times we look at things and look at people in the natural. And God is saying, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. I chose you to win and defeat the devil. I called you to heal the sick. I have chosen you to produce fruit, to do the same works as Jesus. I mean, for me, unless we believe it, we're just playing church. Actually, Jesus wants us to think that this is what's going to happen. And expect this to happen through our lives. You see, we're not just for soul winning. There's a lot of that happening amongst us and through the church, which is our primary mission. But we're for signs and wonders. God is calling us to see that happen and to see that released. So Gideon, he's weak, he's kind of in the wine press, threshing and a little bit kind of downhearted, a probably quite complaining mode, because the angel of the Lord appears to him in verse 12 and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." When you are in a hole of defeat, to hear God say, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," it doesn't compute easily. It's like you want to reject it because you're saying, "Lord, can't you see I'm in defeat currently? Can't you see my situation?" But you see, God has to work on our faith first before he can bring the victory. So the battle is internally won. First it's won in you, and then it's won through you. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't hear anything else tonight, that's it. It's won first in you, and then it will win, be won through you. So what does God do? He's the greatest encourager of your faith and mine. Thank God. Amen. Do we need encouragement? Do we need it tonight? So what do we need? We need to hear God say, "I am with you, mighty warrior." Amen. We see that we have been clothed in Christ. We've got the armor of God. Therefore, we are all mighty warriors. Not because of your personality, but because of Christ. And so God is saying to Gideon, "I am with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon comes up with this string of, "I've got all these issues and problems, and look what's happened to us. You know, but sir, if the Lord is with us," there he is. And I mean, God is so gracious not to slam him at this point. He says, "If you are with us, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Why is Peter in prison? Why have people not got jobs? Why are they sick? Why has this happened to me? Why is it always a constant struggle in this relationship? Why? Let's take it down to here, where we are tonight. Because God wants to do miracles from where you are. Not from where Peter was, or from where Gideon was, but from where you are. This isn't theory tonight. We're going to see a release of miracles. But first of all, we've got to win the internal defeat mentality. And God needs you to lay hold of the truth that he is with you, mighty warrior. You need to be convinced that you're a winner tonight. Can't say it enough. You need to be fully convinced. You're a winner. Thank you, Jesus. Fully, 100%. I don't even want 90 in my life. I want 100. I want to be fully convinced that I'm a winner. I get enough voices telling me I'm not. Do you? But the one voice I want to believe is God's, because His voice is true. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, where are all the signs and wonders? God brought us out of Egypt. He's abandoned us. That's the where's God? Where is He? He's left me. I'm abandoned. So here we go. Pity party comes in the wine press. And everything's going downhill, but God isn't fazed. God isn't fazed by how bad Gideon thinks things have got. But He knows He needs to bring this man to faith if he's going to see deliverance. So He just keeps working on him. Have you found the Lord just keeps working on you? Yeah. And He just keeps speaking. The next thing He says, the Lord turned to him, verse 14. He ignored all the moaning, the unbelief, the doubt. He ignored it and He says, I just love it. The Lord will not be interested in why you can't do what He's asked you to do in getting a victory. He's not actually interested. He's just going to say, go in the strength you have and deliver my people out of the hand of the Midianites. So He says, I'm not giving you any airtime. I'm not even going to be bothered to answer your unbelief. I'm not going to give you hours of counseling as to why this bad situation happened. Look, if you had a choice and you're in a difficult situation and needing a miracle, would you go to Job's counselors or the early church in Acts 12? I think I go to the praying church that saw victory could be released. So I don't want to go talking about how bad things have got. I want to pray somebody out of prison. Or pray them into a job. Or pray a business out of financial trouble. Or bring somebody who's in sickness to health. So go in the strength you have. Why have you got strength? Because the Lord is your strength. If the Lord is with you and in you, you actually couldn't be stronger than you are. So go in the strength you have. I love it. Stop trying to look for more strength. You actually have enough to get the job done. Jesus. Are you coming to faith? Faith comes from hearing. Hearing by my word, the Lord says. Go in the strength you have. You will save Israel. Now, God's people. You will save God's people out of the hand of the devil. I just believe that what first God wants to do is to bring us to this thinking victory, accepting we've got what it takes to get it, and really understanding that even though we're in a battle, it's a battle to win. We're not in a battle to lose. We're here to bring about power to win. Unusual victories are ahead of us. Unusual signs and wonders are waiting for us. Unusual deliverance of people out of the hand of the devil and into freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. All these scriptures, they are as relevant to Gideon, to the early church, as they are to us tonight. They are just as from God to us as they were then, because the word is living tonight and powerful. And God wants you strong for battle. Thank you, Jesus. So we must think victory before we can expect it. Now, just as a kind of an aside, in Acts 12, the time when Peter, the time that this was happening with Herod coming against the church, was the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. That meant the whole of Israel was celebrating the Passover, which was when God performed mighty acts in bringing his people out of Egypt. You remember that they had to have this meal, unleavened bread, which meant no corruption in the house. They had to kill the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost so that the destroyer would pass over, which is the type of being in Christ, saved by the blood. And they would, as a nation, bring to mind during that week the awesome, mighty miracles that God did in Egypt and bringing them through the Red Sea. So every Jew would have in mind deliverance. Now, these were Jewish believers. And so they were still part of that culture of remembering what God did in the old covenant. But now they had a better covenant, which was Jesus died and triumphed over every power and principality through the cross. He defeated every enemy and brought about the ultimate victory for all mankind. And so in their minds, it wasn't defeat, because they were remembering deliverance. And so when Peter was in prison, they thought, 3 million out of Egypt, one man out of prison, no bother, Jesus. They had a victory mindset before they prayed. You know, before you pray, it's very important what you're expecting. If you're praying about something, I think it's perhaps one of the weakest ways of talking about prayer. I think you have to think about victory first, deliverance, a miracle. God is able to do far more than I could ask or imagine. What am I imagining at this point? Peter out of prison? Or maybe nice food being sent to Peter in prison. What do you want? Food and little things to help somebody go through and end up dead? Or do you want them out? Sorry about being so blunt tonight, but I mean, really, we've got to get into this victory mindset before we pray. Thank you, Jesus. So they were thinking, Passover, deliverance. Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from evil, in the Lord's Prayer. Pray, my people will be delivered from evil. So pray them out. Now, this isn't actually using our authority in this state against the enemy. There is a time for that, to bind the enemy. But this was a time to pray with persistence until he came out and knocked on the door. And I just, sometimes I don't believe that we understand there are situations we've got to pray through until. And this is one of them, guys, where the church has to pray through until somebody does get the victory we're expecting. You understand? Rather than just pray once and say, I hope that helped. Say, I'm not going to let you go, God, until I see this completed. And that requires a constant input from the church. I love this because leaders aren't mentioned here. We all are part of the body. So we're all part of the solution of bringing deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. So they prayed. They didn't think death, they thought deliverance. To deliver means to rescue, to bring somebody out of bondage, to bring somebody out of trouble, to bring them out of the problem. And I believe that we, when we pray, as long as we're thinking victory, we will pray people out of difficulty, of prison, of problems. But first we have to know we are chosen by God. The Lord is with us. We're mighty warriors. We have the armor of God. And now we can pray. Our battle is won in prayer. Ephesians 6, the whole purpose of the armor was for prayer. To go into battle praying. It looks like a very weak army, doesn't it? In the natural, but our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in God. They have divine power. And we are here to see the power of God change every situation that does not actually please God and harms people. And we are here to agree with each other because we love one another. We are not happy if you are in difficulty. And so we're going to go and pray to God. This isn't prophesying, by the way. Never once mentions prophesying over somebody. It's praying to God. I think very quickly we just want to come into using gifts and prophesying. But this is just, they prayed to God fervently, persistently. God, bring them out of this trouble into freedom. Praise God. So tonight we are going to pray. First of all, though, we're going to try. We're going to look at these scriptures. Take your eyes off. Can I have the... Okay. We're going to look at these scriptures. Not that slide, San. There we go. And just meditate on those just for a few minutes and receive strength from God, a victory mindset personally. Okay? So just turn to Judges 6 and then into Ephesians 6:10. And just receive strength from God. And then we're going to pray specifically for people to come into their miracle tonight. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You are a winner because the Lord is with you. Go in the strength you have and you will deliver. Not just yourself, your family, but many people out of the hand of the enemy. You will deliver people out of the hand of the enemy. How exciting is that? You will deliver people out of the hand of the enemy. You are a deliverer. You're a rescuer, somebody who's anointed to set people free. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. We take a stand against the devil's schemes to make us think defeat. We are not here to think defeat. We're to take captive every thought and make it obedient to victory. Sorry, Christ, but victory. So that our mindset is, we're imagining a miracle. We're imagining somebody free, somebody healed tonight, somebody brought out of their trouble. I believe this is something that you need to work on. Even just those few scriptures. Because I totally believe that if you don't understand that you already have all you need to win and that you are actually called to win, then you won't walk in it. And so you really have to work at this. If you've had a defeat mindset, a negative mindset, as we heard on Sunday, then you need to work on your head as well as in your heart. Put the word in your heart, but your mind is so important so that you see and imagine victory before you go into any situation. Amen. See, I believe when we were praying before tonight, God told us that the devil's tried to put a cloak of defeat so over the church, so that we're not thinking of miracles. We're just thinking of how we can work our way out of things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Stop thinking about a miraculous escape, but just made it like how we can work it all out. To think it through, talk about it, discuss it, but not pray in a victory. Come on. And God is removing that cloak of defeat tonight and replacing it with his cloak of victory, which is Christ. And he is not going to listen to you anymore, not going to discuss with you how bad you think it is or how many failures you've had. He's never lost anything. And he's made you a winner, and he is going to back you all the way as long as you go in the strength you have. Thank you, Jesus. I'm feeling like a fight now, are you? You're going to take a stand against the devil's schemes now. Now, what the Lord has got, if you have something that isn't in this category, I'd like you still to get with somebody and pray. So that everybody who needs to come out of something tonight actually is prayed out. And that it's prayed on until we see the victory. So it may not, we'll start the process, it might happen immediately tonight. Or we will carry on together until we see. We'll partner with this miracle until we see completion. Is that okay? So whoever you're praying with tonight, you're going to carry on with it. Until you actually say, is it through yet? Right, I'll keep going. Is it through yet? Right, I'll keep going. Until you say, it's through. Praise God. Is that okay? Lovely. Praise God. So the four things that we have is job, work, or business to bring victory in employment or business life. Okay, so really to see a supernatural work of God. Now, if we're going to, could those people who want to be praying for that go in that corner back there? Okay? Relationships. You need to see victory in any relationship. And by the way, this is not to discuss what's wrong. It's actually just to say, I need a victory in this. This isn't a discussion group, it's prayer. Praying the victory into being. Okay, so relationship issues over there to see victory relationally. We have, God told us to bring in some oil. It's actually from Israel. It smells lovely. So we're going to anoint the sick tonight and pray for healing. So that will be in this corner, a miracle physically. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody happy about this? And your future, maybe you don't have, you've hit a wall, you can't see the way ahead. God wants to bring light into your darkness. And that's down, did I say here? So jobs, relationships, future, light, understanding, and healing. So let's scatter. And if you haven't got any need personally, any need you want praying through, stay where you are, and then when we've all got into our corners, I'd like you to go to the corner that you feel led to go to and pray somebody through, okay?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.